Looking for someone.
Back to hell.
We're not gonna have a meaningful conversation now, are we?
You're going down.
I don't think so.
Welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities from Marvel Comics to their MCU counterparts. And we are your hosts, Jeffrey.
And I.
Hello, hello, and welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
We're back.
Time is flying.
It is.
Why is it always flying for us,
Jeff? Losing track of everything.
I don't know what day it is.
Yeah. The days just fly by. I hate making plans. Someone's like, hey, is anybody free? So obviously this is like... last month in September, like, hey, is anybody free this day in October? And I'm like, brother,
I know.
I'm like, I know this is probably the right thing to do to plan this ahead, but I'm like, I don't even know like what I want to. I don't even know if I'm going to the office or working from home tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm going to be available. Like
me, I'm like, if you did not book time with me in July for October, it's gone.
Yeah.
Like I'm so booked.
I also hate. I don't hate planning ahead, but I hate committing to something.
Yeah.
And like, because what if something comes up to not that something that's better than the original plan, but something that's just like, oh, I kind of need to go to that.
Right.
And it's like, now I have to be like, I can't make it. And then they're going to be like, why? And I'll be like, well,
Yeah, exactly. Right. But needless to say, happy spooky season, Jeff.
Boo.
You don't love spooky season.
I don't. It's not that I don't love it. I just don't.
It is not your flavor.
Yes.
Okay. You're a holiday, you're a Christmas guy.
Honestly, I'm like the most neutral person. It's really? I love the feeling, I love the spirit of it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go out, like I don't dress up for Halloween.
Yeah.
I don't really
You don't listen to Christmas music?
I do, but I'm also just like, I'm not going to be the person that's like, I'm up at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Making gingerbread cookies and you know. Have all it knows. I mean,
I'm clearly I have a bias as I generally like direct to the room where all my spooky stuff has melted into my decor. But speaking of crazy schedules, so this weekend I just wanted to mention I've coordinated for the Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County to be at Los Angeles Comic Con. So if you're listening to this on Saturday, there's still time to come see us.
Woo!
at the convention center. And we're at booth 2343. If you want to check us out, we also have a panel on Sunday. Got some familiar faces. Our friend Stephen Ray Morris is joining the panel as well.
Woo!
About dinosaurs, because that's his bread and butter.
Nice.
Along with some of our amazing educators and specialists. And so, come stop by. And then by our next episode, Jeff and I will both be in New York City.
Yeah.
But we will have recorded our episode, God willing, before that weekend.
I just looked at the calendar. I'm like, oh my God, when are we going to record this?
I know. I was like, oh, I got plans. Like, I have people coming into town and they're like, let's get dinner. And I was like, yes. And so
we'll figure it out.
But I am off that Monday. It is Indigenous Peoples Day.
Okay.
So noted. We have that day. And then I mean that.
And then that week is pretty,
it is
pretty
gone. I'm gone Wednesday. You're gone Wednesday.
I leave Wednesday as well.
Yeah. So we got, whoo.
I got that early AM flight.
Whoa. Shoot. So by that episode, we will be in New York. And at New York Comic Con, almost together at the same time.
At some point, we will.
Because if you listen to our last episode, Jeff's gigantic dilemma was whether or not he was going to pony up to see Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah, and then I brought this conflict amongst my roommate and my girlfriend. By the way, and they both looked at me like, "Why the fuck wouldn't you do it?"
That is my favorite thing. I honestly wasn't sure what they would say. Like even Sam, I almost was not sure what
she was
Sam
almost.
Would
she's
say.
Like, she's like, yeah. Why
really?
Wouldn't you?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's
she was like,
great.
That's your, she was like, that's your favorite, right? I was like, yeah. She was like, okay, then do it. And I was like, oh.
Okay.
All right.
I know. I was so overjoyed. I was so happy that you had gotten essentially like the double green to like, yeah, you should do it, dude.
Well, yeah. If it was like the only time you could meet her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course I would do it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Again, I'm pretty sure that is her first true comic book convention experience. And especially since it's like post hype of like peak Avengers and also like kind of hype because of Agatha, but also she's obviously an entity of her own. So, I mean, I think it's a good time to see her too.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And so, but yeah, guys, I'm going to see Elizabeth Olsen. I am incredibly nervous. Even now, so cute. It's 2 weeks away.
I can't wait. I can't wait for the text messages I'm going to get that Friday of just like you and just,
I think,
oh my God.
That photo, when I post it, it's going to be my most liked photo.
Oh, yeah.
Of my Instagram.
Because it's, I'm telling you, again, I say this all the time, Jeff is so photogenic. Like, there's no way that picture's going to come out bad. There's no way.
My October photo dump is in the first photo of that carousel. Yeah. It's going to be me and her.
Yes.
Me and her.
I can't wait. That's so good. So, yeah. So, next time you hear from us, it'll be.
Yes.
Two episodes from now.
It will be two episodes.
Yeah, you'll hear about the Lizzie experience.
Yeah.
Jeffrey.
If she asks me, she's like, "What's your name?" I'd be like, I don't know.
Oh my God, could you imagine? I don't know. Hi, what's your name?
I'd be like,
and you're just like,
it's like that SpongeBob meme, that SpongeBob episode. My name? And then you're just like,
I love it. That's so good. Oh gosh. But speaking about speaking of Wanda, Agatha All Along, nearing its halfway point.
We're on episode
four. Next week will be four.
Oh.
Oh, wait.
Really? No, it's four.
Yeah.
We just watched episode four.
Yeah. Of nine.
Yes.
So.
We're about halfway.
Yeah. And so how do we feel? No details, no spoilers. How do we feel?
Witchy and melodic.
There's a lot more singing than I expected.
Witch's Road song is it might be played a lot during once Halloween starts.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah.
So do you have a prediction of, do you think they'll go as far as to release a vinyl with like 20 versions of it on there?
I hope so. There's gonna be at least
definitely a soundtrack.
There's definitely one or two more versions of the Witch's Road.
Wow.
I think so.
Yeah, probably.
I think at least one for sure. Two?
Yeah.
I don't know, but...
Yay, spooky season. But yeah, so you know, just a reminder, we chatted a little bit about the series in our last mini Marvel, but we'll be talking way more about the series and Agatha herself as well in the next couple of weeks. So hang tight. We will talk more about it later. But for now, just a reminder, we're not experts and we don't claim to be. We're just a couple of nerds nerding out. And today, we're going to nerd out about a character that we have evaded for a very long time. But in all due respect, it's a fantastic character. And that is none other than Johnny Blaze.
Oh, yeah.
Ghost Rider. So right up top, I wanted to emphasize that this character has gone through the Hellscape Gauntlet more than we're going to cover here. There's no way in hell, no pun intended, that we're going to cover like the gigantic mythos that is Ghost Rider.
I'm sure it's dense.
It's so dense. And you know, especially since we've only seen Johnny himself in two films. So we're going to keep it a little minimal, a little minimalistic and a little pared down. So hope you enjoy. So created by Gary Friedrich, Roy Thomas, and Mike Pluge. Ghost Rider's first appearance was Marvel Spotlight number 5, August 1972, aptly titled Ghost Rider. So Marvel Spotlight, as you remember, it's Werewolf by Night. Like all of these side characters, like
small issues,
were introduced. And so this is the first time that we got a whiff of Johnny. I almost said Johnny Cage. Johnny Blaze.
Honestly, yeah. That's a very famous Johnny.
That's another Johnny. Johnny Storm. That should have been a pop quiz. I just meant, name all the famous Johnnies of pop culture, Jeff.
Yeah, name like four out of like... 10,000 of them.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, so Johnny made his appearance in Marvel Spotlight. And so, let me pull out this handy cover here. So, again, August 1972.
These decades always mess with me, bro.
I know. And so, this amazing cover, drawn by Mike Pluge, is...
Oh, wow.
Just the Ghost Rider on his bike looking badass as ever. Ghost Rider, is he alive or dead? A legend is born. The most supernatural superhero of all.
Sure.
Every time I see 70s art, I think of that kind of...
It's like very just like yeah. in your face.
Yeah, because you can imagine like people in that era are just like, whoa, that is so far out,
They're
man.
Like, I love that.
Look at the leather.
Oh my God, does that guy have a... Is that guy's head...
On fire.
I'm thinking of the TikTok you sent me, the Tony.
Tony Stavocci. Stavocci. Yeah, I forgot
his
last name.
Like, look at this. He's on a motorcycle and there's flames coming out of him. Oh, and there's flames on his head. Oh.
Yeah, we got him. He goes the hardest character that's come out ever. And which is wild because 10 years before him, it was X-Men. It was Spider-Man. It was Fantastic Four. So you go from that very like... I don't want to say simplistic, but like kind characters and then tortured characters that are very different from humans. And then you introduce this hellfire guy.
Exactly. You're like, we're getting there.
What a difference a decade made.
When was Evel Knievel's like run?
Ooh, that's a great question, actually. Mm-hmm. Evel Knievel, American stunt performer. Let's see.
Like, when was his heyday?
His heyday. Oh, my goodness. Well, he was born in 1938.
Okay.
Oof. Let's see.
I mean,
my gosh. I mean, he has such a crazy, dense history.
Yeah. That's why.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, I guess that's a tough one to answer. It looks like, so it appears that Knievel and his Daredevils debuted on January 3rd, 1966. So... The timing is right. With the motorcycle bike clubs and such that were kind of popping up, and then on the heels of Knievel, and they were just like, oh, there's something good here.
Just the whole daredevilness of it.
And it cooked for 6 years, and then they're like, boom.
Yeah.
Ghost Rider. Okay, what do you think? 72, buddy.
$1.
Jeff? The answer is, I put a sticker this time. I'm going to remove the sticker and show you that this issue in its original release cost a...
Bro, these decades are kicking my ass.
20 cents. 20 cents. 20
wasn't
cent
the last
tacos.
One? It was like in like late 70s.
It was Wolverine.
It was, yeah, but it's just...
Well, yeah, 1986. 80s.
Well, there was one that was like late 70s and it was like $1 or something.
Well, yeah, it was inflation. I think it was like late 70s though. It might have been, who was it? It wasn't Wolverine, it was somebody else. But yeah, so early 70s, 20 cents could have gotten you Marvel Spotlight number 5. And if you held on to that bad boy, let me tell you, the highest on Shortbox, CGC 8.5, is going for $2,800. And then there's also a signature gold 8.5 up for $12,000. But that one is signed and sketched by Roy Thomas. So he has drawn a sketch of Ghost Rider on it as well as signed it. On eBay, there's a CGC 9.0 for $5,200.
Whoa.
It may have sold for less because the best offer was accepted, apparently. So maybe it was a $5,000. Meanwhile, the lowest on short box is a CGC 1.5 that's available for $650. And on eBay, a CGC 2.0 for $415.
Huh.
Fair market value appears to be $2,000 to $3,000. And then you could get the comic raw, not graded, just in a sleeve for $100 or more. So not too bad. Not too bad, especially for a character for what I perceive as his caliber. But I am also, attracted to these more non-typical characters.
Yeah.
So I think he's a big deal. Maybe not everybody else agrees. But yeah, I would definitely pick it up now that I know it can go for as cheap as 100. Oh, man. So this is a question I'm very intrigued about, especially with you. What is your first exposure to this character?
Nicolas Cage.
No way!
Has to be Nicolas Cage,
bro, man. So given that, I mean, we're gonna talk about Nick Cage shortly, obviously.
Yeah,
but given that, like, how was that for, like, not to get into detail, just give me like a short snippet, like, were you like impressed? Were you like, this is cool?
In 2007, I was 13 years old.
I love that you knew the year.
I knew the year.
Yes.
I was 13 years old. Gosh. So a 13-year-old boy, and he sees a guy riding a motorcycle with a skull of a head and flames on it.
Yeah, what'd you think?
With a chain?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you're like, oh, that guy's cool.
Even with Nick Cage attached to it.
Nick Cage's, when did National Treasure come out? 2004, right?
Yeah.
I love National Treasure.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like one of my favorite movies.
I personally find he is a kooky guy, but I do love Nick Cage, in all due respect. I do love him.
Like that run he was on?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, oh my God, I was right. It's 2004? Oh my God.
Wow, look at you. See, man, it doesn't even need to be Marvel. You're like, boom.
Yeah, so yeah. National Treasure, I'm like, I was fully convinced. I was like, oh yeah, we need to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
Like, there is a map on that thing.
That's like not to stray too far into Nick Cage land, but that is like the one movie that people are like, we could go without a sequel, but also we kind of want a sequel and no one will touch it.
Yeah.
And I can't remember. It was in the news a bit for a while ago, but yeah, he himself is kind of a national treasure.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So it was cool. Like, we'll get into this because we both recently rewatched the films. But for me, I mentioned it in our Wolverine episode in that it was quite literally my first or second Marvel comic ever because it was a flip comic. So the first half was Wolverine. And if you flipped it over, it was Ghost Rider. So that was like my dead first ever, like aside trading cards. Again, trading cards are a huge, you know, component of how I know any of these characters, even if I didn't know them as well as I do now. But yeah, that was the first thing. I was like, ooh, this is, and it was kind of scary, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it's scary.
Yeah, I was like 9 years old when I was exposed to this character. And so looking at him and he was so hellish, and that comic in particular was so dark. And I was like, what's happening here? And so it kind of exposed me to like the darker side of Marvel very quickly.
Got it.
Yeah. And so, speaking of trading cards, I have so many. I didn't feel like pulling them out because this handy little book is amazing. I love my little mini book. I picked this up in Seattle during a Marvel exhibition, in North Carolina, actually. And so, as far as Johnny's bio goes, okay. Oh, you know what? Oh, I just got. Wait a minute. Ooh, book is messed up.
No.
It's a picture of Johnny, but the details are Robbie Reyes. So I'm going to have to find a
trick. Ooh, that's interesting.
Ooh, they messed up. Whoa, they got me good. Yeah, this is the wrong picture. Hey, Insight Editions, your pocket-sized Marvel book has the wrong Ghost Rider.
I mean, if they can't even tell the difference, they're just like, whatever.
Give me a second. Okay. So that literally took me 5 minutes because every card I have is not Johnny Blaze.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is incredibly jarring for me because it was like, not only was the book incorrect, but also I just have a whole slew of like alternate Johnny, alternate Ghost Riders, and Danny Ketch, who we'll talk about later in this show. But I was able to find a trading card that I do not have myself, but it seems to be incredibly old and it has a bio on it. So we're going to refer to that. But for Jeff's enjoyment, Johnny Blaze, aka Ghost Rider, 6'2", 220 pounds.
Okay.
Lean. Kind of like a Gambi.
Yeah.
And so as for the bio, it says Ghost Rider has superhuman strength and durability, as well as the ability to project and control his mystical flame. He can shape the flame into mystical motorcycle capable of traveling over water and up vertical surfaces. Okay. Blaze is a world-class cyclist capable of seemingly impossible stunts. Doesn't really talk about his background, but that's okay, because that's what the show is for. Let's go ahead and get into it. And, you know, depending on the source, I feel like there are some typos where it's similar to the Gwen Stacy issue, where sometimes they spell the name incorrectly or differently. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, depending on where you look, there is a traditional Jonathan, and then there's also a John Athon, which is kind of how you I know.
Athon.
I know. It's very strange. Kind of trying to make it unique to the character, I guess. And so, but either way, Johnny Blaze, Ghostwriter. So Johnny's story takes a different approach from that in the cinematic version, like straight up cold starting with Ghostwriter himself. So when you open that Marvel Spotlight number 5, you're immediately shown Ghostwriter. Boom. Oh, yeah. He's in first panel, second, third, full, you know, half page flushed, just straight up Ghostwriter. And so he's in this issue, he's like riding around town. You get the sense that he has freshly become the Ghostwriter, and he's a little confused of what his purpose is, why this is happening to mm-hmm. him. And so he encounters some criminals, which turns into a whole altercation between them. And so it's funny because, like, maybe similar to how you first perceive this character, the criminals are like, oh, look at that guy, his helmet, it's like on fire, it's crazy. And then they like creep closer and closer, and they're like, whoa, those flames look real. And then they're like, oh, it's his face.
Yeah.
And then they get the bejeebas scared out of him.
Pretty much.
Scared out of him, right? And so they don't realize he's a little flaming skull of a person until they're inches away from this guy. And so what they don't realize is that, yeah, the writer has just become the writer. So he is like full-fledged, like baby Bambi, like flopping around like, oh my, why am I on fire?
Yeah.
You know, and so he's looking for answers, but also trying to hide, because you get this internal conflict that whoever this man was, he's like, I'm a monster. I can't be seen in public. So he's doing whatever he can to get away from the public eye. And so he, you know, in his stress, he finally realizes, oh, it starts to dissipate. It goes away and he reverts to normal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, thank God. And so he's no longer this monster. He has reverted back to the man, Johnny Blaze. And so then it's then when they then begin the story, right? So this is kind of a theme that we see carried over in a lot of origin stories, as well as film, where they cold start you. You're already in it. You're in the thicket of it. And you're like, what is happening? And then, like Deadpool, for instance, Deadpool Wolverine, he's like, okay, hold on, let me take you back. And so they start from where the pivotal moment is. And so, you know, there's this whole thing where, you know, he's what I love about these old Ghost Rider comics is that there's fire everywhere.
Yeah.
So in every depiction, there's fire. And so when he's thinking back on how this all started, you get this, like, you know, this, like, not mural, but this collage of different images in Johnny's head. And one of them is his father as a cyclist, and he dies. And it's quite, they don't show the death or anything. Mm-hmm. They should, like, rip, like, Barton Blaze, like, I don't even know if that's part of it, but it's so simplified in the book that it's like, oh, okay. They don't touch on it much at all. And so Johnny's father, Barton, was a death-defying daredevil on his own, and he worked alongside the great Craig Crash Simpson and his Cycle Spectacular. So they called this group Cycle Spectacular. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of like what you would see in a sideshow or a circus or whatever, a carnival, where they're driving around the ring, and then the people are on top of each other, on each other's shoulders, like balancing, while there's a motorcyclist that they're on top of. And so that was essentially Crash and his family. They were this, you know, this carnival act. And so in the aftermath of his dad's death, Johnny is left an orphan. But he and his dad were so close with Crash and his family that they take him in. And so they're like, don't worry, boy, we'll raise you as our own, you know? Because this all takes place, I think, in Texas, too.
Okay, yes.
And so Crash's wife, Mona, and then this also includes his daughter, Roxanne. So time passes, the kids grow up. They're like, at that moment, they were kind of, I want to say, like 10. They were 10 years old. Let's just say that. So time passes. Johnny continues to perform with the Simpsons, which is kind of funny.
That's hilarious.
The Simpsons and the stunt act. And mm-hmm. he then starts to work with Roxanne in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the comics, he calls her Rocky, which is kind of cute. And so unfortunately, a freak accident leads to her mother dying. And so because he was raised by the Simpsons, Johnny then tells her, you know, he's like, I always look to you as my mom. My mom, you know, I never, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, she's his mother now. And so he really emphasizes how much he cared about this woman. And so as she's on her deathbed, you know, she then tells him, promise me that you will no longer be in the show. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay. And so you kind of get the sense that Mona had always felt that Crash pushed Johnny into staying not only in the show, because, you know, after his dad died, yeah, he was kind of like, I don't want to do this. Like, this is awful. Mm-hmm. And so Crash was like, oh, but, you know, you're going to be some son of mine. You gotta be in the show.
You gotta do it,
right? And so Mona then, of course, as she's dying, is like, promise me that you'll not do this, because she knows deep down he really doesn't want to. And so 5 more years pass, and then Crash becomes, he's displeased with Johnny, because Johnny has lived up to the promise he made Mona.
Yes.
And he is like, okay, I will not partake in the shows anymore. I'm mm-hmm. just going to be a mechanic. I'm just going to work in the back end, right?
Yeah.
And they can do the show, just Rocky and Crash. And so this is when Crash really starts to harp on him, because Johnny could be, he's probably like 18 at this point. And he's like, you're a coward. You know, you ain't got no guts. You don't want to do the show. And so he's just basically arrived at this point of like complete resentment for the kid. And he's still just like kicking his boots. He's like, all right, well, I'm not going to do it. And so Johnny then takes matters into his own hands. And then he thinks, you know what? I'm going to do it. But this time I'm going to do it because I want to.
Mm.
Not because he's telling me to, but yeah, because I want to. And so when he is like, ta-da, I am not a coward, Roxanne then is like, oh, Johnny, I love you. You know, because they, like, even them, they were,
dude,
having...
that damsel in distress voice is freaking crazy. It's so hilarious.
And it kills me, because in the film, every time, and it stems from, like, I feel like a 50s era movie or show where there's like, oh, Johnny, you know, I love you. You know, it's like this very, like...
I can't wait till we talk about that first movie. Yeah. Because I have...
Thoughts.
I have thoughts.
Okay. But yeah, so Roxanne had actually, you know, before he started to write again, Roxanne also started to kind of adapt the same... She was also humiliated by the fact that he wouldn't do it.
Mm.
So she started to act like her dad and be like, you know what? Maybe my dad is right. Maybe you are a coward.
Every 2000s movie. My dad was right about
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
You're a bad boy.
You're a bad boy.
He said you're good for nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. Accuracy 100. And so that's what really propels him to be like, I'm going to do it. But I'm doing it for me.
Yeah.
Not doing it for her. I'm doing it for me.
I'm doing it for you, Dad.
Yeah, yeah, right? Exactly. And so then she reveals her love to him. And then Johnny is like, I love you too, doll. And then it's kind of like awkward though, right? When I was reading it, I was like, this is actually quite awkward, because they grew up together as like sister and brother. Sure. I get it. They're not related, but also like...
They friend zoned each other.
And
they're trying
like,
to make it out of the friend zone.
Yeah, and they're like, actually... It's cool. I know. You know what I mean? And I'm like, okay. Never mind.
Sure.
Hey, it worked. And so after years of trying, Crash finally booked Madison Square Garden. So things are looking up. Johnny's back in the game. They're going to MSG. Mm-hmm. All things are exciting for this family, this trio. And so naturally, this is when Crash reveals that he has a month to live. And he's like, it's so crazy, because it's like, we booked MSG. And then you turn the page and he's like, I have 1 month to live. And you're just like, what?
Just so dramatic.
It's so dramatic. And again, because it's 70s. It's the 70s. And so, and I think this is a little later, because, you know, it is as time passes. But yeah, you know, you get the vibe. And so Crash reveals, yes, he has a month to live and he has come down with a disease. And you kind of get the vibe that it's like, oh, it's cancer.
Yeah,
because that's what they all have. They just never say the word.
They never.
And
can,
so
yeah.
And so Crash is then like, take the show and carry on the name because I don't have a son and it's only you. And he declines. He declines because the whole Mona thing comes back to him. PTSD trauma. Yeah. He's like, I can't do it. Now, now he's losing a third parent. And so he refuses. And so it leaves him in opposition with them again. And this is amazing because it, like, again, like, if you hadn't known, like, I don't know Ghost Rider nearly as much as I know Spider-Man or Daredevil.
Yeah, sure.
Like, he is very much an offbeat for me. I would love to dive into more. And so when I was rereading these old issues, I was like, this is so funny. So when all seems lost, Johnny has only one solution left. I want you to read this as you go, Jeff.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
I'm showing Jeff a panel from this issue.
Okay.
And he's gonna read it. This is Johnny's last resort.
But you couldn't go, not when they needed you. Still, there was no one you could turn to. No one except...
Satan!
Yes, this is the only way. And even though I'm afraid... That's so funny.
Isn't that crazy?
You're running out of options and you're like, ah.
He's like, ah.
I gotta call the devil.
Yeah, he's like, ah, but my library of occult books is... Well, this will come in handy. Like... My guy.
That's
what?
So funny.
Is that wild? But also, again, take yourself back to 1972, and they're selling this on the, like...
Oh, I know.
Holy crap.
I know. They're the like, why are you actively promoting Satanism?
Exactly, which is so insane to me.
Honestly, I just think it's hilarious.
Like, it's so gutsy. And then you kind of think back, like, you know what? Yeah. Stanley was... He was kind of a mover and a shaker. Like, he really propelled something that was incredibly taboo, you know. And granted, he did not write it. He did not conceptualize this particular story, but he did help push it forward, right? It still says Stanley Presents. And so, like, he's, like, promoting the occult and Satanism.
Pretty
in
much.
A weird way.
Pretty much.
And so, that said, Johnny conjures the devil and begs him to save Crash's life. He's like, I will give my soul to save Crash. And then said devil is revealed to be none other than our favorite. Finally.
I know.
Mephisto.
When I saw in the movie.
Yes.
The name of that devil, I was like, get out of here.
Why does no one talk about that?
I was like, Mephistopheles?
Yep. It's Mephistopheles.
Like, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
So there is a
Mephisto.
Yeah, there is a Mephisto.
And no one talks about it. No one talks.
I know.
Everyone has been nothing but Mephisto since WandaVision. And he's right there. And no one talks about it.
Never seen one reference of like, oh, you know, Mephisto was in Ghost Rider.
Right? No one said
that. I
anything.
Didn't see that at all. Wow.
So crazy. So Johnny accepts. And then, Mephisto is like, okay, but just know, I will be back to
collect.
Like,
when I need you.
Yes.
I need you.
And Johnny's like, it's fine, just say it. And so, Johnny gets his wish, Crash is saved, but Crash, unfortunately, although he is saved from the disease, he then crashes.
Yep.
He eats turf.
Wow, they literally.
Yes. He lived up to his name, sadly. And he died while trying to jump 22 cars.
Gosh, darn.
After all is said and done, it's not long after that the devil reveals himself once more to summon Johnny's soul bound with an ancient evil demon named Zarathos, now known as the Ghost Rider.
Damn.
So that's what it all started. And so that, after all that is said and done, that's when they bring you back. And then that's how he just, like, bursts into flames. He's like, oh, my God. And then he became the Ghost Rider.
That's literally a spitting image of the movie.
The only
difference is Crash is his dad.
Right. They just changed some of the components to kind of, which makes sense. Because, again, the movie was released in 2007.
Yeah.
So they did with what they will. And so, speaking of Johnny Blaze in cinematic verse, portrayed by Nick Cage, aka Spider-Man Noir, who, by the way, speaking of, he is filming this very second.
He is.
Amazon's Spider-Man Noir series, and he was maskless, so.
We will see.
We'll see. It's my favorite Spider-Man. Oh, man. Anyway, first appeared in 2007's Ghost Rider, directed by Mark Steven Johnson, which is wild. You think about this. This movie was released, and then the next year, Iron Man came out.
Wow.
Yeah, think about it like that.
Wow.
Because most people, because although it doesn't have the Sony logo on it, Ghost Rider is a Sony film.
Mm.
It's just Columbia is
Columbia,
the
right,
front
yes.
runner, right? And so if you think about it that way, you're like, okay, so they abandoned the Spider-Man train and then they jumped on Ghost Rider and then like, boom, here comes Marvel Studios, yeah. fresh out the gate, Iron Man the next year. And so Nick Cage, however, was last seen in 2011's Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I had forgotten I even saw for a second, but I realized that, oh, no, I've seen this. I saw it in theaters for sure.
Nice.
I saw both in theaters for sure.
Respect.
Yeah. And so rewatching it, oh my gosh. And so very quickly, before we do talk about these amazing films, in his youth, Johnny was part of a carnival act with his father. His dad was a chain smoker, and it's alluded that he got lung cancer, and he died. He was going to die sooner than later. And then Johnny made a deal with the devil by blood to cure the cancer. But his dad still died in a freak accident. And it's after that crucial moment that, a.k.a. that devil, Mephisto, finally collects and makes Johnny his ghostwriter, a bounty hunter for the devil.
Yes.
And then we come to realize, of course, that this is no standard matter of Satan, but instead Mephistopheles.
It's kind of a crazy
and he's,
name.
He's summoned the rider to dispose of his treacherous son, Blackheart.
Yep.
Yeah. And so let's talk about these films.
I love these early 2000s films.
There's a flavor to them,
Well, I love it. It's just because it's like there's so many plot holes.
Oh, it's like riddle. It's like Swiss cheese.
It's so completely random.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's not like, I'm not asking for a bunch of exposition. And you know, as a viewer, it's like oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Whenever you know, like we can go quickly through the film. Like it starts off, you know, he's young. He's part of the Johnny's part of the show. With yeah. He's like a protege to his dad.
Yeah.
He's trying to impress the girl, which is Roxanne.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, cool. Like there's that.
Which portrayed by Matt Long, by the way, young Johnny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like okay, then he finds out like his dad is sick, and then this weird devil guy just comes out of nowhere.
Weird devil guy.
Comes out of nowhere while Johnny's fixing his bike.
Yeah.
Nowhere.
Yeah. Literally nowhere.
Yeah. Literally nowhere. It was like, I could cure your dad.
Yeah.
And he's just like, what can you do for him? And it's like, bro, why are you entertaining this conversation right now?
Imagine.
Like, you don't know this guy.
You have no idea who this person
and
is.
And then he's like, what do I need to do? He's like, oh, you got to sign a contract. Okay. He pulls a scroll out. That's weird.
Yeah.
And he opens it. You're rolling this up.
Yep.
It's so weird.
And then it's like, ooh, blood. And then gets on.
And he says, that'll do. And it's like, what?
It was literally a drop of blood.
Yeah.
It's like he got a paper cut. And like this dramatic drop of blood falls. And
it's weird.
And he's like, I'll take that. And it's like, what? Wait. Like, wait, what just happened?
Like,
yeah.
Why are you just, yeah, this is fine. Like, that's fine. And then it's like, you wake up the next day, you're like, healthy as a horse.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, sick. Yeah. Still dies.
Yes. Exactly.
And he's not even there. Like, he wasn't even in the same room. Like, he was just like, he did the jump. And then Johnny was like, what? What happened?
Yeah. He's like, come on, boy, hurry up. And, like, your dad
like,
fell
dad,
or something.
Wake up. Like friggin' Simba. Dad?
Yeah, I know.
Dad?
And he's just there.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, what happened?
And then he just dies.
Yeah, he just dies.
And then on top of that, like, he has that conversation with Roxanne.
I know.
He's like, we're leaving tomorrow. Dad's saying, you're not good for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's.
Oh, Johnny.
Let's run away. Tomorrow. Meet here at 12 p.m.
Yes. That's like, literally what he says, too.
I'm like, what?
Like,
and then
our lives suck. Let's
and then,
just
okay,
run
then,
off.
And then your dad dies, yeah. And then she's waiting for you. It's raining now. Now it's raining.
Yes. Oh, the drama rain kills me.
It's raining, and then she's waiting, and then he just abandons her, like leaves her.
Yep.
And then, okay. And then it moves on to Johnny's big stunt daredevil now.
Yeah.
And then, like, can you do it? And mind, this is probably like 20 plus years later. At least 20 plus years.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And it's like, can you do an interview? He doesn't do it. What about for an old friend? She just pops out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Like,
and also, by the way, Nicolas Cage was 43 when he filmed that movie.
Damn.
And that was 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Or a little more than 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Or less. And then she was, I think, 32 or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's Eva Mendez. Like, yeah, like, I get it. But
Yeah. No, she's beautiful.
But I'm like,
yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
But this is like a lot of the movies during that time. It's just super random.
Yeah. Plot holes for days. Edgy and then almost so serious it's unserious.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it's self-aware to the point that it knows it's bad, but it's still good bad. Like, yeah. And I don't remember what I was looking up, but I saw some discourse online about the aughts movies, right? The pre-Marvel Studios movies. Uh-huh. Oh, I think I was, because I was looking on IMDb and such just to find a little more about the movie. And so someone said very, very succinctly and also very accurately, they're like, you can say what you want about these films, the pre-Iron Mans, right? Punisher, Blade, Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
And they're, sure, they're quote-unquote bad, but also, like, they're very entertaining for what they are.
They are.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, damn it. Like, yeah. And that's why I think that's why the magic of Madame Web is still stronger than ever. Like, yeah. People have, like, I saw a thread this week of a young person that had just watched it for the first time, had no idea why it was so bad, and then was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
And plot hole after plot hole. But they watched it the entire film through, and they, you know, and people still already, not even still, but already are referring to it as like a cult film because it has a weird following. And then that's why I like Morbius, because it reminds me of these films. And again, you know, like, it's not that bad.
And but also,
it's
also, yeah. Yeah, Eva Mendes's character, she was a little too easily accepting that this guy's a slave to the devil.
Yeah.
Like,
it was almost like she was expecting the worst. Like, oh, there's another woman. But it's just like, oh, you're servant of the devil? Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
Like,
I'll take that.
Like, when he's coming down the building, escaping the cops, yeah, and they shoot at him.
Yeah.
And she's like,
oh, my
Johnny?
God. Yeah. Johnny?
Like, why are you okay with this? Like, like.
Yeah, man. It's so wild. But yeah, so did you ever watch Spirit of Vengeance?
Pretty sure I did at some point.
Really? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I don't remember much of it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, the upside is we will talk about some of the characters from that one.
Yeah.
As we go along, so maybe your memory will be spurred.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
definitely,
it's been a while.
Did, yeah.
It's been so long.
I probably, certifiably did not see that movie since it came out until earlier this week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, but yeah, we'll talk about a few of those characters later. But yeah, I enjoyed the first,
fun movie.
First one. It is a fun movie.
Fun
and Nick
movie.
Cage is very entertaining. And I think his first true transformation into Ghost Rider, I love so much because he's so maniacal in that scene.
Yeah.
Like, the crazy eyes and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Nick Cage.
I mean,
Nick
I will
Cage.
Say also the two Ghost Riders.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, Carter Slade.
You're giving us
fun.
two of the same hero.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Usually you have to go do a second movie to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And we got a little bit to say about that character as well. But before we get there, let's check out the aesthetic. And so I grabbed some stills. Obviously, Johnny Blaze, leather jacket, spikes on the shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very cool. It's very consistent with the comic books. You can't really mess that up.
Yeah.
There's no messing that up. And I did include Robbie Reyes as well because his suit is also very iconic. And of course, Robbie appeared in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I can absolutely say you know far better than me because I had tapered off by that point. But we'll talk about him at the tail end. And so, yeah, it's pretty badass, you know, and Blaze is all around a biker's guy's kind of guy. And so, again, leather jacket, fitted jeans, belt buckle, boots, whole shebang.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, flame and skull and the bony features. And you know, what's interesting is that as much as I thought I liked it wasn't perfect because, you know, they were still working with the head like sinking, right? Like that whole CGI. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I really liked Ghost Rider in the first film. But I will say, as bad as Spirit of Vengeance is, I almost prefer that look because they kind of gave his skull a charred look. Okay. It was darker.
Okay.
It was a little more realistic too. But I like this first movie outfit more. In the second movie, he didn't even have a shirt on. So you could see like his rib cage and his, you know, collarbone and stuff. And I was like, oh, I don't really like that as much. I like the shirt. But I guess they were trying to go for comic accurate. But yeah, no, I like the first film. Although the film was produced in the late aughts, the visualizations for the character on screen were pretty decent, honestly, and even enough to help the film double its budget in the box office at the time. So I think the budget, I want to say the budget was like 114 or something, but they ended up making like 250, which is great. 250 million, which is, yeah, you know, I mean, that's the budget.
Dude,
that's for
the good.
Entire,
that's really good.
It's the budget for the entire season of She-Hulk, exactly. Season one. But inflation. Again. And so, yeah, it actually did well. It, by all means, is a successful film, which is more than we can say for some other ones that have been released lately. Credit to Lizzie Gardner, Bojana Niktovic, who were the costume designers of the first two films, as well as Anne Foley, who brought Philippe Smith's Robbie Reyes design to life in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4. So for powers and paraphernalia, before we get into specifics, I wanted to cover a little bit about Zarathos, the entity that fuels the Ghost Rider. And so, funny enough, I have a card of Zarathos.
Nice.
Which is like, you know what? I could have, I guess I could have read this bio, but it's not too,
It's not the same.
It's pretty decent. So, on this card that I have, it says, after thrashing Centurius in a graveyard battle, Ghost Rider Vengeance and Johnny Blaze face the powerful demon Zarathos. Instantly recognizing the potential the magic amulet held to exponentially increase the power of its owner, Zarathos demanded it for himself. In a heated clash, Ghost Rider managed to harness the amulet's power and defeat Zarathos, banishing him from the world forever. And so this is probably based on a different writer, because there is writers throughout history. Like, there is a writer that canonically rode a woolly mammoth made of fire. That's Ice Age. It's 15,000 years ago. So he's been in the mix for a long time. But Zarathos himself is an ancient demon linked to a mystic relic that is mentioned on the card. It's called the Medallion of Power. And so Zarathos coveted the item, and he wanted to use it to take over and dominate realms like Earth. And so Zarathos is also known for devouring souls. And so Mephisto was harnessing his power to conjure the Riders. So when you see Johnny turn into the flaming Ghost Rider, it's because he's imbued with the power of Zarathos. So, fun fact, by the way, if Zarathos is a familiar sounding name in biblical stories, Zarathos is an angel, and aptly named the Spirit of Justice. And, nice. He was created and sent by God to protect innocent on Earth. And so, unfortunately, he was tricked and captured by demons, according to the internet, which is very interesting. So they've kind of amalgamated that story with what the writer's room and the bullpen of Marvel came up with for the Marvel version of this character. And so it goes without saying, Blaze himself is an individual. As a human, has no powers. He's just a normal mutant guy, not a mutant. Not superhuman, nothing. He's just a biker. He's just a cyclist. Just a cool guy. But as Ghost Rider, Blaze bears superhuman strength, agility, speed, reflexes, stamina, as well as invulnerability, regeneration, hellfire, literal hellfire, supernatural awareness, dimensional travel, magic, and exorcism. And the writer also possesses various abilities related to sin manipulation, aka purging a soul, I know, it's so hardcore. Purging a soul, perception, removal, and or absorption, Soul manipulation, which consists of reading, cleansing, or consumption, consuming a soul, and an ability known as penance stare.
That's what it's called. Yeah.
He does that in the film, mm-hmm. as well as damnation stare, which is particularly useful against demons. And so, Jeff just said, it's very much the same on the cinematic live action side. And in addition to those powers, we also see him manipulate the chains as well as change chosen methods of transportation into fiery versions of their natural state. So that's part of their whole manipulation process as Ghost Riders, is that whatever vessel they're choosing to travel on or touch or utilize, it turns into hellfire, which is why there is a hellfire woolly mammoth at one point, as well as, like we saw with Carter Slade in the first film,
yes.
his horse turns into flames like the Headless Horseman. Yeah, it's just badass. All of it is so badass. So family, friends, and affiliations. For Barton Blaze and family, the funny thing about Barton is, and the rest of Johnny's family, is that an abundance of it had been retconned over time. So as recent as 2006, Barton's fate panned out in more detail, leaving a family behind. So initially, his mother was implied that she had just left him and his dad. Then his dad died, and then he moved in with the Simpsons. However, in 2006, they reintroduced the story, and that once Barton died, his mother was still around, as well as two siblings. So he had a full-fledged family. And so what's messed up is that when Barton died, the mom looked at Johnny and more or less blamed him for the dad's death. And so quite literally one morning, his mom and his two siblings were there. The next day, they were gone. They abandoned him. So he was left alone. He was orphaned. And so Barton Blaze on the cinematic side was portrayed by Brett Cullen in Ghost Rider. The posters all said amazing blazing, and Johnny's father and partner in crime when it came to their stunt work for Quentin Carnival. And not much else to say other than, yeah, what we just said earlier is that he just, you know, they kind of put Crash and Barton together for the movie, and then he died.
Died.
Yeah, just straight up died. Oy vey.
Healthy as a horse. Dies.
Yeah, exactly. Oy.
Saw that coming.
I know, man. And so that brings us to Carter Slade. So in the comics, this is interesting because this is like a full-fledged, like not quite at all the same origin story. But Carter was a character originally named Ghost Rider in the comic books, but later changed to Phantom Rider. After they introduced Johnny Blaze. So imagine, if you will, a masked rider. Imagine a cowboy Moon Knight. That is what Phantom Rider looks like. Phantom Rider is like cowboy hat, all white clothing, white horse. They look like phantoms. And so despite the two having the same title.
Yeah.
And consecutively. So it was Carter Slade, then Johnny Blaze. They have no real connection in the comics at all.
Oh, wow.
They don't. And Phantom Rider is not even a Ghost Rider. They just called him Ghost Rider because he was ghostly.
Of course.
And so after Johnny came in and they were like, oh, let's build this entire mythos based on demons and the occult. They were like, okay, well, he's just going to be Phantom Rider now. And so that's all he is. And so, however, on the other side of the spectrum, Carter Slade is portrayed by Sam Elliott in Ghost Rider. Sam Elliott is always a badass.
Oh, yeah.
Was he not in Blade as well?
He might have been. Oh, I forget.
I think I'm confusing him with Whistler. I don't remember if he was Whistler or not. But everything that Sam Elliott is in, he's like the bad boy cowboy that's like spitting tar out of the corner of his mouth.
Exactly.
Always. And so I liked what, you know, even if this character wasn't accurate in the film, he portrayed him so amazingly. And he's only in it for like a fourth, if even that. Mm. Probably 6 minutes of screen time total. But he played a pretty pivotal role in the first film, introduced as a cemetery caretaker, And then it was later revealed that Carter was the writer that acquired the contract of San Vengaza.
Vengaza.
Yeah, known for its possession and control of 1,000 Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, as although his presence is minimal, he plays a pretty sick character. Western rider, complete with the ghost horse. Ugh.
Yeah,
so cool.
I know. Like I was like, ooh.
Yeah, that's one of the first. That's one of the things I remember when I first saw it in 2007. I was like, that's dope, because it's like the horse, like it just goes.
I got one more ride in me.
Yeah, it's so cool. Ah, and it kind of made me sad in retrospect, because realizing that there is no Carter Slade of that nature in comics, I was like, oh man. Yeah. But I mean, again, Sam Elliott played it incredibly well, and so it's one of my favorite things about that film. And so in the movies, he was set free from his writer curse after he gave the contract to Johnny, and then he rode off into sunset with his horse.
Exactly. That was good.
Just dusted. And so we won't get into other characters for this episode because we don't see them in the films. So there's like Wolverine, there's Punisher, there's all these characters that he obviously comes into contact with in the comics. But there is, on the cinematic side, a character named Mac who was portrayed by Donald Logue.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was part of Johnny's pit crew, but killed by Blackheart. Before Blackheart kidnapped Roxanne. He was pretty funny. He was definitely the comic relief of that film.
Oh, yeah.
And I forgot he died, and he is essentially the 2007 Coulson, right? You're like, oh, they killed the good character we loved. And then, you know, of course, Johnny is like...
He's like, no, Mac.
Yeah, exactly. But we would be remiss to not mention the Midnight Suns.
Mm.
So we have talked about the Midnight Suns in very minimal detail across many, many episodes. But the Midnight Suns group has included Ghost Riders, Danny Ketch, and Johnny Blaze, as well as Doctor Strange, Blade, and Morbius. Plus, another version of the team also includes Man-Thing, Moon Knight, Wong, Dr. Voodoo, and Elsa Bloodstone.
Mm.
And so I wrote, with Madison in mind, I was like, Avengers, but spooky.
I mean, it is.
It is, right?
They're spooky Avengers.
Spooky Avengers. And I was like, oh, man. And that makes me want it more. I really want to see this movie come together. But they can't do it until they get Blade nailed down, man. Blade is the biggest component that's missing from this.
Yeah, who knows when that's going to be.
Yeah. But, I mean, let's, you know, not to segue too hard, but... You know, people, fans were speculating that there was going to be a Blade cancellation notice a week or two ago. Nothing happened.
Nada.
So let's hold out hope. But, you know, knowing Marvel, they'll probably announce it the day after we record this.
They always do. They always do this to us.
Just like they released the Thunderbolts trailer.
I know. Like, gosh. Come on, bro.
Yeah, exactly. God. But again, I kind of want spooky Avengers. But we'll see. We'll see if we'll get them one day. So love interests. Yeah. So this is pretty short and sweet because Johnny at large is a total loner. He is one of those rare, rare characters where they don't try to force feed you with romantic side quests at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other characters take care of that, but Johnny is 100% loner. You know, there was one character that's pretty modern. I think it's a 2022 character named Talia Warroad, who was an ex-SHIELD agent turned into an FBI paranormal unit member.
Right.
Yeah, she's pretty dope. If you look at her, she's kind of, I'm not sure what ethnicity she is. I think she might be Asian. I'm not sure, but she's got black hair, definitely goth, like tattooed up.
Okay.
Fishnet, like torn. Oh, she's so cool looking. And so she basically, she counterbalances him so well because they're so alike, but she's also what he's missing in a mm-hmm. character. And so we're not going to get into her very much because, again, she's not in the film. She's not in anything. But she was introduced into the fray because she initially had premonitions related to Johnny as the Ghost Rider. And then she kind of turned into a partner against his greatest adversaries. So they kind of took on all of his big baddies together. And there's no romantic link. I don't think so, you know, but fans definitely speculated potential between them. But whether or not we'll see that full force is anyone's guess. But, you know, if I had to say, if they were going to bring Johnny Blaze back and not bring in Robbie Reyes or Danny Ketch, I could see them bringing her because she's more relevant in a modern sense. Over Roxanne, who, of course, Roxanne Simpson Blaze in the comic books obviously played a crucial part in Johnny's origin, as we talked about earlier. And when Mephisto returned, Roxanne is actually, she had actually walked into the scene. So as Mephisto is about to render the rider for the first time, Roxanne is there. And she like conjures a spell that she learned from his books to help protect him. So, and it's funny that way, speaking of like how they just kind of like brush over like huge plot points.
Yeah, like, hello, he's a devil's worker. Like, you're like, oh, let me read some of his books.
Yeah, she's like, Mephisto, leave him alone.
Stop. He's had enough.
And then it's... And it's so funny because in the panel, like I can't quite remember the dialogue, but they're like embracing after Mephisto has left. Yeah. And he's like, Rocky, how did you do that? And she's like, oh, well, you weren't around. I was reading your occult books and I learned some spells and a protective one came. Like, she like, she just like, no big. I just read your occult books to save
that's
you.
That's toxic. That's a toxic. What? Oh my god, you learned a conjuring spell for me? That's crazy.
I know! And so she had cast this spell to protect him from Mephisto, right?
It's like the Spider-Man Mary Jane me. He said! Exactly. He said, I've had enough! Exactly. Oh, I'm gonna recreate that meme.
It's so funny. Oh my god. So good. And so... This tiny caveat that like Rocky introduces is what saved Johnny's soul from being completely chained down by the writer and Mephisto. So that's why he's able to kind of revert back, not at will necessarily, in the beginning at least, not at will, but it saved that little nugget of his soul that the Mephisto couldn't have. And so it affected the storyline so much that it made her the perfect candidate in the books to be a crutch for Johnny and also like who they kidnap and who they try to kill constantly. She is his Gwen Stacy. She is his Mary Jane. And so Mephisto is, and I'm going to say this again later probably, Mephisto is 100% Ghost Rider's Green Goblin. That is his big bad.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's kind of like...
Nice.
Where is Mephisto? And so it's like, maybe the answer is we're not getting Mephisto as so far.
Yeah.
Because there's no Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
And it would be like introducing Green Goblin, but there's no Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
It makes sense. If you put it in that kind of tone, you're like, that makes total okay. Sense. Yeah.
Why are we introduce Mephisto with
not
Wanda?
To say that he doesn't mess with everybody, but but you know, after Mephisto causes more mayhem and mischief and all that bad, horrible, good stuff.
Yeah.
The couple later reunite and then they get married and then they have children named Craig and Emma. And she dies.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway.
We'll
talk about that a little later. We're not going to talk about it in full, but she does unfortunately meet her end at some point. But she is not gone for good. But on the cinematic side of things, Roxy Simpson, so they call her Roxy, which makes more sense, to be honest, in the movie. Portrayed by Eva Mendez.
Woo!
And as a teen by Raquel Alessi. My God, do they look so similar, by the way.
They do, yeah.
Young version, and like I was like, oh, they really matched her well. Roxanne and Johnny's story in the movie is a little more romanticized. Kind of want to say than in the comics, and it's definitely, you know, an epitome of teenage love. Johnny. And so Johnny's dad wasn't a fan of her.
Yes.
You very much get that. And it's both, it's unrequited, almost Romeo and Juliet-esque, yes. Right? And so he's like, what, you think she's going to stick by you when you're in a cast or whatever he says? Yeah. And then her dad, her saying that, oh, my dad doesn't like what you do or whatever she said. And so, yeah, you know, the two plot away to go away together, like Jeff said. But of course, Barton's death completely derails that entire situation. And then they meet later. And she is a news anchor who reunites with Johnny on this, on the job. That chemistry was so interesting. It's like seeing Nick Cage suck face with Eva Mendez. I'm like, what? But it also that the whole new, her coming into the fray thing was as an adult is just so interesting to me because he's so taken aback by her.
Yeah.
But like in a like completely smitten way.
That was like the most like realistic part of the whole movie. Yeah. Was him just being like, hey, you look like, hey like, how you good. You been?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the most
realistic
part.
Are you seeing anybody?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I heard you got married.
Yeah, it's so wild. And she's like straight to the point, like, tell us more about your big jump. And he's like,
you look good.
Yeah. I know, super weird, like super weird, but also like weirdly like realistic.
Yeah,
I guess is just kind of what I'm getting at. Is like, oh yeah, it's charming. It's weirdly charming.
Yeah,
they played it off well, and so, like in the books, she becomes the target of writer's opposition, and together they overcome all the villains in the first film, and she absolutely did not return for the sequel.
Yeah,
which I assume is because the sequel not only came out in 2011, but also I think she was like caught up in. Like Fast and Furious by then, right?
Hold on.
Oh, Jeff knows.
I don't know. I don't think so.
No.
Because first Fast and Furious came out 99, 2000. And then the second one came out.
Was it really 99, 2000?
Too Fast, Too Furious came out in 2004.
Oh.
And that's the one she was in.
Oh, is she not in the rest of them?
She made a cameo appearance in Fast 5, which was 2011 with The Rock, but it was just a cameo. It was just like a cameo.
Oh, interesting.
She wasn't in the movie.
Interesting.
It was one scene.
Right, because this is... Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah. So maybe it was just because...
Was she not in the X one or whatever? 10?
Fast 10?
Whatever. Whenever they did the weird CGI with Paul Walker's face, was she... Wait, did they... Because I've only seen the first movie. Don't hate me.
But good.
Didn't she and Paul Walker get together in the films, or am I mistaken?
They were like love interest in the film, but I was just in Too Fast.
Because he had a family in the end of that weird CGI one.
Yeah, but it's not with her now.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
She was I mean, this is Hitch in 2005.
Oh, Hitch.
That was 2005, though.
Yeah, that was 2005.
That's pretty much...
I think
much...
she may have retired by then, maybe.
She was... Oh my God.
No, she did
right. 2011 Fast 5. Oh my God.
What is your movie knowledge? Oh my God. You're an IMDb. Interesting. Yeah. Well, she didn't retire.
She did.
Quite yet.
She was in The Other Guys.
Oh, interesting.
Remember, okay. Have you seen that with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's basically like she's married to Will Ferrell, and Mark Wahlberg's like, okay, yeah, who's this? like, I'm his wife.
Yeah.
I'm Wolf. And he's like, yeah, all right. What is this? So she did that.
When did she do the film with Ryan Gosling? Because that's the one that propelled their relationship.
Which one was that?
I don't know what it's called.
Oh my God. The Place Beyond the Pines? It is The Place Beyond the Pines.
Yeah, maybe. When was
that? Yes. 2012.
See? There it is. That's why. Because she was doing that film. She was probably filming that film.
I mean, it's like kiss Nick Cage or meet my future baby daddy.
Exactly. Yeah. And it worked out for her. Then she retired after that movie.
Yeah, she's not retired. She's not doing much. You
know, she's not doing as much because she's a mommy now.
Yeah, and then she was like, here, Ryan, you have a career.
Yeah, pretty much. No, she's great. So yeah, that makes total sense why she didn't return. And they don't even talk about her at all in the second film. She's not even mentioned by name once, which is kind of wild. And they did kind of do a soft reboot in a weird way, because even the scroll signing scene was rewritten differently in the second film.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, okay. So they tried to change it up. And also, what's wild, I do prefer the first film again, because in the second film, I forgot it was a two-name directing team, but they really, it gave some hard Sam Raimi vibes.
Ah.
Hard Sam Raimi, like very much Evil Dead attempt at the film, and it didn't quite work for them. But yeah, she is erased from that existence. But who knows, maybe we'll see her again if they bring the writer back into the fray. But till then, that's it for Roxy. So notable adversaries. There's so many. So I'm only going to talk about the ones that are in the films. We're starting with Blackout. So according to Wikipedia, Blackout is a quote-unquote professional criminal who can create light dampening fields that negate all visible light in their radius. He's extremely sensitive to light and possesses metallic teeth and nails.
Ooh.
So that's interesting because it almost feels like Mr. Negative. Dr. Negative. Mr. Negative. It's almost like Mr. Negative from what I understand. But that said, he is incredibly different in the comics than he is in the film. And so in the comics, he battled not only Johnny, but also Danny, who we've mentioned a few times by now. And Blackout also very much comes across as one of those secondary villain types.
Not quite a
stilt man, but not a Green Goblin. I had to say it.
Sure.
But in the film, Ray Kerrigan, a.k.a. Blackout, is portrayed by Johnny Whitworth in Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. And it is very notably loosely based off of the comic book version. They were just like, it's just a name. It's not really the character, but, you know, whatever. And so in the film, he was a merc drug dealer that Mephisto then transformed into Blackout to pursue the writer. And in the film, Blackout had this power to decay. He had the power of decay. He could make things decay slowly with a touch.
Oh my gosh.
But he did have this weird sort of like he could focus people into his own dark field. Okay. And so I think that's the part that is more from comic book. But yeah, he was interesting. I mean, if he had a better movie, maybe it would have been more compelling. But he wasn't a bad character, but he did go down very easily. Like, it just took one actual headshot and it was over. And it's like, why didn't you do that 40 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Type of deal. But it was interesting. And then somebody who was far more interesting that maybe we'll hopefully get to talk about at length one day is Blackheart. Mm-hmm. And so at large,
White as a ghost. I mean, God.
Well, I mean, let me just show you the comic book version because you'll be like, oh, what? This is the comic book version. He's an actual, like, black-hearted being.
Oh, my God.
That's just all black.
That looks scary.
Have you... Because I know you haven't played the video games, but he's a huge character in the Capcom games.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Haven't.
And he's like, you know, you have Ryu, who's this big. Yes. And then Blackheart is literally up here.
Okay.
And he has the power... Like, he has the powers that he does in the comics. And so... Blackheart comes into the mix in the comics with Johnny, with the resurrection of, speaking of Roxanne, who returned from death as this entity named Black Rose.
Mm.
And so imagine that. Imagine what you just saw, but it's more of a crimson red feminine version.
Uh-huh.
So they resurrected her after she died. Blackheart brought her back just to mess with Johnny. Yeah, and so she's this very demonic looking entity, faceless too. She has no mouth, no nose. She only has eyes, and she's spiky and weird, and she was capable of forming these thorns. And so very, very much like Blackheart himself. And so, as we mentioned above, Blackheart is the son of the devil, aka Mephisto.
Mephistopheles.
Mephistopheles.
It sounds like Mia Thermopolis.
What is that?
The Princess of Genovia.
Oh my gosh.
That's why I was like, why does Mephistopheles sound so... I'm like, Mia Thermopolis.
How funny.
Princess of Genovia.
Princess of Genovia. Interesting. That's an interesting little fun fact.
When I saw... It's like Mephistopheles. I was like, who? What?
Oh my gosh. And so Blackheart himself is born of pure evil with a taste of corruption. And so like the story is that evidently there was like a number of murders in the era in which he was born. And so Mephisto, like the great dad he is, just like kind of whipped up all that energy. He was like, son, He made a baby.
That's so funny. I know.
He's like, let me stir all this bad juju in my pot and make a son.
Child.
Yeah. And so he made Blackheart out of that terrible, terrible energy. And so Blackheart himself is also wrapped up in more paranormal, magical types like Ghost Rider. But he has dabbled in messing with Daredevil and very iconically Spider-Man as well. So Mephisto and Blackheart, again, they're mystical, occult-like characters that kind of pop in and out of many, many storylines. But they do focus quite a lot on the Ghost Rider type. So if you're looking for a spooky book or a spooky comic to read that has either one of these characters, definitely start with a Ghost Rider type of deal. And so another fun fact about Blackheart, he hates his dad. He hates his dad. He hates his dad in the movie too, which
he does.
Kind of funny. And so he just hates his dad. He wants to rule hell. He wants to be number one. So even at the expense of his own father, which is funny because Mephisto would kill him no quicker than, you know, vice versa. They both hate each other. But it's very interesting. You know, it's kind of one of those, maybe it's one of those scenarios that Mephisto thought he was going to gain a minion, but really he made himself an arch nemesis. Mm-hmm. And so on the cinematic side, Blackheart is portrayed by Wes Bentley in Ghost Rider. Perfect candidate. Wes Bentley looks like a werewolf man.
Yeah.
Like by nature. So great candidate, but he is like pale white as a ghost. He looks like a vampire in that film.
He does.
Yeah. And so I knew Blackheart enough when that film came out that when he came on screen, I was like, when is he going to transform? And he never does. Yep. You know, never does. But in the films, he and his minions, Gressel, Wallow, and Abrigor, portrayed by Lawrence Bruhls, Daniel Fredrickson, and Matthew Wilkinson, respectively, bonded together in search of the contract of San Mengaza, and then they wanted to unleash hell on Earth. You know, that's a tale as old as time, as far as these guys go. And much to the dismay of Blackheart, however, his father summoned the Rider in hopes of eliminating
his
Blackheart.
Son.
Yeah, from the pursuit of domination. So he was like, I'm going to create a Rider. Oh, he hates me. I'm going to create a son. Oh, he hates me too. And then he's like, Rider, kill my son. And then Rider's like, I'm going to kill your son. I'm going to kill you. So they're just like a trio of pointing Spider-Men.
It's just like, gosh, man.
It's so funny. And it's, again, Sony captures it so beautifully in its mess, in its plot hole
so
mess. Yeah. And so Rider went toe-to-toe with Blackheart, now known at that time as Legion, because he took in the souls into his own vessel, if you will. And so he absorbed the contract, and then Rider then uses the penance stare. And what does he say? He's like, guilty.
Oh yeah, he's like guilty.
Yeah.
You will now feel
that.
The souls of all
it
the
goes
the,
so
whatever.
Hard.
Yeah, I was
goes
like, oh my
so
god,
hard.
This is kind of scary.
It's so
lie.
Scary, and his voice also to compare the two films, his voice is 100% scarier in the first film. Like,
oh,
that's
really?
Not, I don't know that that's Nick Cage at all. In the second film, you kind of get the vibe that they use Nick Cage and just put some, you know, like effects on him.
Mm.
The first one is, if that's him, I will be very surprised because he was actually quite scary.
All
and
right.
So, yeah, so he used the penance stare to disarm Blackheart into submission and just like rendered him a shell. He is a soulless shell sent back to hell. And then that brings us to Mephistopheles. Mephisto. And so easily said, again, greatest enemy of the Ghost Rider. And so there is a literal list of chapters of all the characters that Mephisto has messed with.
Dude, I'm sure.
Right? Like you go down the line, you go scroll down, and it's like in an alphabetical order. It's everybody from Ghost Rider to Scarlet Witch.
Guys,
like
just bad.
Everybody. Yeah. And so, and one of them, most memorably, is Spider-Man's iconic One More Day, where he sacrificed his love for Mary Jane to save.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yes.
That's that guy.
Wow.
That's Mephisto.
Why is everyone making deals with the devil, man?
I know, right? Could you imagine if they folded that into Spider-Man 4 and that's how they introduce Ghost Rider and such?
Wow.
Wow.
It would be insane.
I know, it'd be wild. And so what can we say? He's a meddler. He's the devil. every single...
The devil.
Yeah.
The devil.
The devil.
Every single typical storyline you could think of with a devil or whatnot, that the Mephisto has done something similar to that. And so, Mephistopheles, in the film, first portrayed by Peter Fonda in the first film. There is two.
Wow.
He was
Two versions of Mephisto.
Two versions of Mephisto. Because he was portrayed by, I'm not sure if this is how I pronounce his name, Ciaran?
Oh, okay.
Ciaran Hinds?
Either Ciaran or Ciaran.
Or Ciaran. Or
Ciaran.
Ciaran. Ciaran Hinds in Spirit of Vengeance. And so, interestingly enough, I don't believe they called him only Mephisto. They always seem to call him by his full name.
Mephistopheles?
In both films.
Mephistopheles?
They always said Mephistopheles.
Doesn't sound as threatening as Mephisto.
But I'm also like, was it part of the rights usage?
Maybe,
they only had the rights usage of Mephistopheles, but not Mephisto? Right, because they said Mephisto and Agatha all along, but they have acquired those characters back.
They did say Mephisto, yes.
They sure did. They sure did. Spoiler alert. But yeah, he was never regarded as his full name. But he was known as Rourke in Spirit of Vengeance. So they referred to him as his full name once or twice, but the rest of the film he's known as Rourke. Which is like, why muddle it? Whatever. And so, as we mentioned above, regarded as the devil, bargaining for soul after soul after soul, and even against his own son. So, again, the devil made everybody do it. He's just the devil. And that is that character. And so, yeah, what do you think the potential is for this character to show up?
We've talked about Mephisto so much. Like, he's going to pop up at some point.
Yeah.
But who knows when?
Who knows when? There's limitless potential for this character to show up. So maybe we'll see him or not. But again, we got a name drop in Agatha Along already, which I think is so funny because they so casually did it too.
Yeah.
She said it so casually, like what? Like it's Mephisto or something? And I was like, wow.
Oh, I said his name.
I know. I was like, ooh, is that a dig? Because everyone's like, Mephisto? And they were just like, yeah, Mephisto.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. So we'll see. We'll see if he shows up now, 5 years from now. Who knows? But there are two in existence. So it's not like we haven't seen him already.
Yeah.
So when it comes to other versions and other media of Ghost Rider, the following that we're going to talk about aren't variants necessarily. They're just others who have been cursed to be writers, or better yet, spirits of vengeance. Mm-hmm. And so the first one is Danny Ketch, who apparently is the only writer I have trading cards of.
He's the only one that exists.
I was like, what are the odds that all my Ghost Rider cards are Danny Ketch? And so he was portrayed by Fergus Reiterin in Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. And so, Just to go back on that quick storyline, Danny is a child in that film. He's like 10, 11 years old. And he and his mother are supporting characters for the huge storyline that's happening. And they're a plot point in the sequel, which, by the way, has an outstanding score on Rotten Tomatoes of 19%. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Progress. It's better than zero.
Yeah. Is there any film that has gotten a zero?
There's definitely one recently, really? But I don't know. I don't know the name of it.
I've never seen anything lower than an 11.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
Oh, no, I'm curious. I wanted to look.
No, you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So in addition to Johnny, Danny was one of the handful of writers in Marvel Comics history, joining Alejandro Jones, Michael Badalino, Kushala, and a guy named Robbie Reyes. Danny is also Johnny's half-brother in the comic books, related by their father, Barton. So maybe we'll get to talk about him one day. We'll see. But I did not want to let you go an episode without one pop quiz, especially when it came to our boy, Ghost Rider. So, speaking of Rotten Tomatoes, Jeff, can you guess the highest and the lowest rated Marvel projects on Tomato Meter?
Wow, what a segue.
Yeah, and this is all encompassing. This isn't only MCU. This is Marvel projects.
Repeat the question one more time.
Can you guess the highest?
And the lowest?
And the lowest rated Marvel projects.
That's tough.
On the Tomato Meter.
The highest, I want to assume it's one of the Marvel Studios ones.
Correct.
It's either, I think, my gut...
And also just adding live action.
Got it.
Into the Spider-Verse doesn't count.
Got it. Okay. I think...
I think you can get this.
Ooh, that's going to be tough. Highest rated?
Highest rated.
My gut says it's one of Endgame or Infinity War. That's just my gut. Uh-huh. But I'm also like, oh my God, there's also like a lot of
really... there's really good
ones.
Yeah,
like Days of Future Past exists. Mm-hmm. This is... Damn, this is like this is like trying to find a needle in a haystack.
Right up your alley, though. Right up your alley. 100% right up your alley.
And my gut reaction for worst, it's either it's like Origins or the most recent Fantastic Four, which is like, because that got bombed. Mm-hmm. I know that was like, it debuted with like less than like 40%, I think.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Hold on. Let me try to think of the best. All right, guys, you're going to critical think with me.
Final thoughts.
We know Infinity War is, because even when Endgame came out, people were like, yo, Infinity War is the best just because of what, you know, and I get it. But Days of Future Past exists.
By the way, Fantastic Four.
The Miles Teller one?
The Miles Teller one has an 18.
Oh, see? But I feel like there's something worse than that.
Wow.
You have the answer, obviously.
Oh, I do, of course.
Ooh! Oh, my. Okay. Highest rated? I'm trying to remember in the last, like it's got to be in the last, like, 10 years. Mm-hmm. For sure.
True.
10 years. Mm-hmm. Is that over or under? Because Days of Future Past came out 2014? So that's 10 years. Like, is that exact?
Less 10 years for sure.
Less than 10 years?
Less than 10 years.
Guys?
You can do this. You can do this. I know.
Oh, my gut says Infinity War because it was so freaking good.
Let me add one more hint. Both films have come out
in the last 10 years. Wow.
Yeah. It's like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
People hated Love and Thunder. But also people hated Morbius. And people hated Madame Web.
Yeah, they did.
But who hated...
Who hated what more?
Which one was hated more? Morbius or Madame Web? Like, Morbius just became like a cult, like, just, like, pop culture, like...
Yeah.
Punching back.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't make it...
Well, because people are messed up and they think it's cool to hate on Jared Leto.
Yeah,
which I don't agree with.
Yeah.
But... It is what it is.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
you can do this, Jeff. Come on.
I know it's not Endgame, but like I'm very torn between Days of Future Past and Infinity War. Just because Days of Future Past was such like a breath of fresh air for people. And mm-hmm. we're like, oh, my God, this is the best thing. Yeah. Like, best X-Men movie ever.
Sure.
Okay, I'm just going to go Infinity War. And then I'm going to go as the best, highest rated.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, but but Black Panther was also like really good.
Mm.
Oh my God. But damn, people also hated Captain Marvel. Like just for no reason they hated it. So they review bombed it.
Yeah. Yes, they did.
Bro, this is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Madame Web as the lowest rated. Just because like it never reached a positive point.
Uh-huh.
Like, so okay. I'll say that.
Okay.
And then for the highest rated.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
Come on, Jeff. Let's go.
Endgame, Infinity War. I know for sure it's nothing in phase four.
Yeah, no.
That I know.
Yeah.
So within 10 years, but nothing in phase four. So anything pre-2021.
Final answer, Jeff.
Oh, Infinity War.
Man, you got half that right.
Ugh!
And you said the answer, which makes it even worse.
It was Days of Future Past?
Nope.
No?
So, according to Rotten Tomatoes,
okay,
the highest rated Marvel property project is with 96%.
Okay, I was only thinking like 92. Highest rated. Yeah.
Is Black Panther. Yeah.
The first one.
Yeah. Endgame and Infinity War are both like 92, 94, I think. Black Panther edged them out that much.
Because I was on the right track.
Yeah, you were. And then, of course, the lowest, because even Logan has 91, 93.
Yeah.
Just FYI. And Logan, I feel, is top tier.
Yeah.
But again, I love me some Black Panther, so I can't even question that. But the lowest, which you said, was indeed Madame Web.
Yes!
But 11%!
Yeah, I knew it was low.
11.
I knew it was low.
Oh my God! Oh, that's awful, because thankfully, and I say this thankfully because obvious reasons, but Morbius has a 15%.
Mm.
Still over her. Yeah. But the audience rating is 71%.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
That's kind of in Captain Marvel land, which is wild.
Yes.
Captain Marvel has a higher critics rate too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a little higher. But yeah, I was like, okay, good. Like, people need to stop pooping all over Morbius. I'm tired of it.
Wow. But
Madame Web.
I almost forgot how beloved Black Panther was, yes, when it first came out.
Always, still love.
So now I'm like,
day, yeah.
I was like, oh, that's why I was like, oh my God, the Black Panther.
It's Black Panther.
But I just thought of like generally, I was mm-hmm. like, oh, Infinity War is mm-hmm. really, but yep. That makes sense though.
Yep.
Damn.
Well done though, Jeff. That's pretty good. You, the fact that you mentioned it is astounding. That's so
my
great.
Knowledge is vast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh man. Okay. And so, with that said, the last thing we're going to talk about very quickly is Robbie Reyes, portrayed by Uncle Tommy, aka Gabriel Luna, in season 4 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And he appeared in 10 episodes. So again, I fell off. I have seen clips of Robbie, and I meant to watch like a full recap of him in the show. But from what I understand, he was incredibly well received.
Yes.
And he was incredibly well portrayed.
Yes.
Like, I know that some people were like, oh, he's maybe could have been a little younger, but I get why they I get why they used Gabriel, because he was perfect from what I could
yeah,
see.
Yeah, from what yeah. I remember watching yeah. that season, because I watched it in its full succession of like he's like battling with like becoming the writer and yeah. he was just like, yeah, but
and he had that sick car.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's funny because I was at the season 4 premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And they had it at
on
the
display?
Grove.
Nice.
They had it at the Grove.
Nice.
And they brought the car out. And so when it was funny enough, now I'm remembering it, I was walking out of the theater with all the other folks, and then Gabriel Luna was like quite literally in front of me. And nice. So, because he was there, and he walked out, and I have a video of him like checking out the car.
Wow.
I gotta find it. It's somewhere. But yeah, I remember being like, damn, I want that car.
Yeah.
That car was so
I thought it
good.
Was really I thought it was really good. I think that first season with him and mm-hmm. like you're finding out his like story mm-hmm. and like something like with his little brother or his cousin or
yeah.
something.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it was like it was a very emotional story.
Yeah. yeah.
Like very grounded. And yeah. I remember being like, oh, this is really good. Like even though I know this is an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Like storyline and yeah. how they intertwined it, you're like, oh, this is a really good portrayal.
I stand by the notion that season 3 on were really great. It's just that I think it was 5 that maybe it started to dip, or after
yeah.
Robbie had left, that's yeah. when it started to get weird again.
Yeah.
And so, but the last season was also really great. And so, yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., man, like
it went on for a long
back.
Time.
Yeah.
A very long time.
And I definitely want to go back and watch all of Robbie's episodes.
Yeah.
I just heard he was so good. But that also, unfortunately, the ghost writer effect cost so much for the show that's why he could only be in it for so long, because they just didn't have the budget for mm-hmm. it. But go figure, you know? So Almost was This is so crazy to me, but not so crazy, to be honest. Believe it or not, Nick Cage was the only actor.
Sounds about right.
Considered for the role.
I believe
it. At the time of his casting. And although Cage knows his films were far from perfect, he has expressed that he always wanted to see them released as R-rated films.
Mm.
So he also believes that the character should have a revival. He's just not interested in doing it. Which would explain why the concept art of Deadpool and Wolverine that revealed Cage's writer. So there's the splash image, I think, that Andy Park made or one of the other artists that shows the fight in the void with Elektra and Gambit or whoever. But Daredevil was in there and Ghost Rider was in there. Mm. And it was Ben Affleck and then Johnny Cage's... Nick Cage's Ghost Rider. And so maybe that's why he ultimately did not come back, because he doesn't want to do it anymore. He has separated himself from the character.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick Cage, by the way, huge comic book fan. And we've talked about that before. He's a huge Superman fan, especially. He named his son after Superman. And he has a tattoo of Ghost Rider on his bicep. Yeah. And he got it. I think he got it before the movie, which is even crazier. So it's kind of funny because in some scenes, you can kind of see like the flames on his bicep because his shirt is like
cut off.
You could see the makeup like that they try to put on top of his arm. But anyway, so nobody else was even thought of. But you know who we'll see next again? We have no idea. And also, which writer will it be? They could take a completely different route for all we know. So, future of the character in the MCU, thoughts?
I mean, possible, but I don't think they're in a rush.
I don't think so
either. It's such like a... I mean, it's not to say that they've gone that route of like the devil and like that side of things, mm-hmm. that mystical side of things, mm-hmm. but I just think, well, like right now they're in witch territory. So, you know, they can't throw different genres at the same time, which I think Marvel has done a lot of in the last, you know, 2-3 years, which is great. But also like you're throwing a lot of different lores at people.
Yeah.
Whereas that's how they did at the beginning of it, but it was like three different lores, right? It was like the Thor lore, the Norse lore, the Captain America lore, and the Iron Man lore.
Yeah.
But then that was kind of it, but it was all still pretty grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And
then they took them beyond.
Exactly. Just,
yeah.
But then in the last like couple of years, it's been like a lot of mystical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like...
Well, especially because Strange is such a great segue into it.
Yeah,
like it's kind of like the gateway drug of
the
occult.
Yeah,
especially Multiverse of Madness.
Exactly,
and then Wanda.
So it's then also Shang-Chi and like that. Mm-hmm. That's mystical side of things, which is like 100%. A whole different side of things too.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like I don't know. There's a lot going on. Keep track of and I don't think they're in a rush for Ghost Rider.
Shame.
I don't think so.
I really want to see it, but I know it's further from the concept than X-Men. You know what I mean? Now X-Men is gonna
especially
happen.
Now, especially with the X-Men thing going on. It's like okay, let's introduce these guys.
Sob. Yeah. I agree. Again, I would like to see, even if they did a Marvel Studios Presents like Werewolf by Night.
Yes,
I would take it.
That'd be
great too. I would take it. Like, just give me an hour and a half long of. Well, hour of Ghost Rider or something. Oh, I would take it in a heartbeat. But we'll see. I mean, they're collecting the Midnight Suns, like Infinity Stones right about now. So maybe it'll actually happen one day, but just not now. So suggested reading. It was very difficult to pinpoint specific titles. And so it's kind of a mesh of different issues. So anything that features Ghost Rider, Wolverine, and Punisher... and or Punisher, definitely check those out. Those are very to hell and back sort of vibe if you're looking for it. So it's like they're fighting in Earth and then they go to hell to fight and then they come back to Earth. And so it's a lot of, you know, that whole vibe, especially with that trio, which is very unique. And Wolverine seems, he's very, very flexible as far as like putting him in stories go.
Yeah.
So it is interesting to see his dynamic with Ghost Rider and Punisher to boot. There's also, of course, various issues of, you know, that all culminate into the Midnight Suns themselves. And so there are various titles. It kind of dips into different, it goes into Morbius, it goes into Blade. And so you just put them all together and you got a great storyline, but definitely check those out. Volume 2 of the Ghost Rider original series, but many, many more in continuity, especially the last 5 to 15 years, especially are absolutely worth the read. And for Robbie Reyes fans, all new Ghost Rider from Team Philippe Smith, Trad Moore, Nelson Daniel, and Val Staples. Maybe we'll talk about Robbie sometime. I mean, again, he's only in 10 episodes, but I guess if in technicality, that could be more screen time than Nick Cage, which is kind of funny to think about. But yeah. But yeah, maybe we'll talk about him sometime, just not right now. But yeah, definitely go check out that, because all new Ghost Rider, man, that made waves when it first came out. People were just loving it. And with all that said, that's the end of the show. Thanks for listening, guys. And so with the next episode, since spooky season is still basically my big holiday, we're gonna continue the vibes we're gonna dip a toe back into sort of into Deadpool Wolverine territory for its digital release, which is officially out this week. Woo. And we're gonna discuss the man himself, Blade.
Blade is only gonna be one Blade.
It's only gonna be one Blade. Oh, I can't wait to rewatch those. Really like the Blade films. So we'll see. Yeah, that'll be our next episode. Definitely check it out in about 2 weeks. And so finally, thank you to all of our Patreon supporters, and a special We Are Groot salute to Joe, Liz, Edgar, Jenny, Chris, Ashley, Andrea, Ariel, Tyler, Ed, Katie, Andrew, Robin, Sherry, Laura, Nats, and Melanie. Follow us on social at STRKC and TRST. And if you like what you hear, please review, rate, and subscribe.
Once again, thanks for listening. We will catch y'all in the next one.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
So, you've got the devil inside you too.